Hello, I'm Marcel Kittel. Welcome to the Cycling Day.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another race recap analysis here of the Giro d'Italia 2022. And of course, we saw a very interesting stage on stage 14. And as always, I'm joined by Mr. Krüger himself with his new bike, Ewan. And Ewan, what happened on the Giro d'Italia today?
Well, this was an absolutely fantastic day of the Giro d'Italia from start to end. What happened at the start, I hear you say? Well, it was a big game of breakaway lottery for a long, long part of this day. We had no idea who was really going to be in this group. It was very open. It was also very chaotic and messy. We saw Van der Poel try to attack. We saw what seemed like half the peloton trying to get into a breakaway. Eventually, we had a small one that lasted for about 50 kilometers. It included some of the pre-stage favorites. Nos Pedals was there, Alessandro Corvi and Diego Rosa, two Piemontese riders as well, up the road. Rosa took the points over the first categorized climb of the day, but once we got to the Remembrance Park in Turin, well, choo-choo all aboard the Giovanni Aliotti train of Bora Hansgrohe, they rocketed the peloton down, dropping Alejandro Valverde over some what looked to be a fairly inconspicuous climb. Valverde drops off, and then we also see Guillaume Martin struggling and plenty of these other riders, including Joao Almeida, getting spat out the back of this race. But Valverde deep in trouble, 1 minute back by the time we crossed the finishing line in Turin for the first time. Almeida eventually came back after losing about 20 seconds. But Aliotti was done, Zwiehoff was done. It was down to Wilco Kelderman, who did a monstrous turn on the front for about 40 kilometers, distancing Valverde by minutes. Guillaume Martin was cooked. He was minutes behind on the road as well. And a small 12-man group soon evolved, which included Jan Hit, Domenico Pozzovivo, Pale Bilbao, Mikel Landa, Simon Yates, Vincenzo Nibali, as well as Richard Carapaz, Joao Almeida, Jai Hindley, and Emil Buschmann. So it was definitely a tense one, to say the least. Kelderman kept the pace going until the final lap over the final ascension of Superga. On this climb of Superga, well, it was relentless, absolutely relentless. Juanpe dropped, losing minutes in the end. We saw other riders really struggling, but Richard Carapaz launched what looked like a phenomenal attack, like no one was going to stop him, gaining up to 30 seconds over the Superga climb, holding that gap over the ridge when Bilbao and Buchmann started to chase. But once we got onto the final climb, the Colla della Maddalena, well, that's when Hindley launched, with Nibali following as well. The two bridged up to Carapaz once we got to the top of the Maddalena, and they soon had company with Simon Yates. Almeida and Pozzovivo made their own group about 20 or so seconds behind, whilst Landa and Bilbao were flailing a bit. They lost 1 minute in the end. And I mean, everybody else in the group looked to be out of the picture completely. On the descent, we did have our bonus second sprint, which was swept up by Adam Yates as he attacked away for stage glory, which he eventually did, sealing his second Giro d'Italia stage win. Whilst behind, well, the sprint was between the three guys left, Nibali, Hindley, and Carapaz. Hindley takes second place on the stage, getting 6 bonus seconds for the Maglia Rosa fight, while Carapaz came in third place, putting him in the new Maglia Rosa, with fourth place going to a very good-looking Vincenzo Nibali, who is looking in a prime place to strike once we get into the mountains, especially tomorrow's stage to Konya. Whilst Almeida rolled over the line 30 or so seconds behind, we also had to wait a bit to see Juanpe Lopez, the reigning race leader, who came back home about 3 minutes or so behind. What does this mean for GC? Well, Carapaz leads 7 seconds ahead of Jai Hindley of Bora Hansgrohe. Third place is Joao Almeida of 30 seconds. And Mikel Landa hangs on just there at 59 seconds at 1 minute and 1 second, whilst Pao Bilbao rolls out to the top 6.
Yeah, an absolutely attritional stage that. And we're probably still waiting for the Gruppetto, let's be honest. Yeah, Ewan, where better to start with Simon Yates? Of course, as you said, his second Giro d'Italia stage win, and has such an incredible relationship with the Giro. Do you think he's going to be satisfied with a second stage win, given that the GC is no longer, well, part of his Giro anymore?
Yeah, I mean, he's had to restructure. His whole team's had to restructure. And the stage win is what they would want. That's 40 UCI points, by the way, 40 very, very valuable VCI points. Bike Exchange on the verge of relegation, really. They're in that battle. And they were hoping to get a big sum of points from Yates in the GC, which is not going to happen, we don't think. He moved up some places today, but Lucas Hamilton, their new leader, dropped a couple of places as well after losing about 8 minutes on today's stage. It was a mightily attritional day, and the fact that Yates won on this very, very attritional and tough day of the Giro d'Italia proves that he definitely has something left in his legs. I think he's definitely going to be in the mix for more stage wins. The stage win in Slovenia at the Sanctuary looks very good as well on stage 19. That seems like a Yates kind of stage. Or maybe now, knowing he's a time trial guy, that final stage in Verona. Throw his name into the mix there, but you never know on the course now at Arzel.
So Richard Carapaz looked like he was absolutely motoring away with the stage victory. Absolutely infernal acceleration by him. But one thing that was quite unusual, Ineos Grenadiers leader, completely alone, nobody there. He was outnumbered by Bora. Bora had three riders at one point. Bahrain had two riders. So Ewan, how is he going to defend this jersey?
Well, just looking back at the way Ineos have been the past couple of days, Carapaz's main lieutenant, Richie Porte, was dropped early today. He was dropped yesterday in that big tailwind chase for the sprinters. And we didn't see Pavel Sivakov at all. We saw, I would say, no Ineos jersey in the final 50 kilometers apart from Carapaz's on the broadcast. What does that say for tomorrow? Maybe they're resting up for a big move in Konya. Last time we were in the Oster Valley, Carapaz took the stage and took the Giro effectively. It's up in the air, but he still performed. He still got the Maglia Rosa. Now Ineos are in a very comfortable position that they know how to deal with. But Bora Hansgrohe look like they're also very, very good as a team tactically. I know Kelderman invested a lot into today. Buchmann as well was up there. We didn't see much of Kemna today, which I think will be valuable for tomorrow. We've also still got Zwiehoff, Aliotti as well. Plenty of cards still on the table for Bora Hansgrohe. And I'll be honest, I think Bora Hansgrohe could really try to outplay Ineos Grenadiers tomorrow, but Ineos might want to play the role that they always play, where we're going to see, I don't know, Ben Tullett, Ben Swift, Narvaev, and so forth, try to pace in the early day, and it all just becomes the Ineos show in Konya. But 7 seconds is not that much. Bora, I think, can just kind of throw the spanner in the works when we get to the second climb tomorrow and try to take that Maglia Rosa away from Carapaz. All it takes is a stage win and the bonus seconds tomorrow at the bonus second sprint, which is once again 3 kilometers away from the line, to take the Maglia Rosa. And I think that's what Bora have come here to do. They want to win this race. And I'd say Hindley is definitely a contender for that. He looked so, so good today. And I think Bora, I hate to say Carapaz is in the front runner, but it's looking very close between those two.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be an exciting battle between those two. Well, there could be more people getting themselves in the mix. But speaking of the Italians, the Italian veterans, shall we say, Vincenzo Nibali and Domenico Pozzovivo doing absolutely stellar efforts here on this ride. And Domenico Pozzovivo managing to get rid of Joao Almeida. Do you think that potentially is alarm bells for UAE, or do you think he's still well and truly in this race?
I think one of Almeida's weaknesses was shown today, which looks to be his descending. On the descent of both the Superga and the Maddalena, he seemed nervous. He left a big gap between himself and the rider in front. That gap on the Maddalena then became a, how much is it? About 10, 20 second gap on the line. This is time Almeida shouldn't be losing. If he kept the wheel of Pozzovivo, I'm sure he really wouldn't have lost that time and stayed closer in the GC. He's only 30 seconds back, but Almeida's not the most offensive rider in the mountains. So we'll wait and see. I think it would have been a better position for Almeida to hold on to that front group, stay there for the sprint, maybe sweep up some bonus seconds and get it into the jersey then, and just try to hold on to pink for as long as possible. He's not this offensive rider. But in terms of Pozzovivo and Nibali, Nibali's still in the mix for this one, isn't he? He's only 2 minutes and 58 behind. He actually won the Giro in 2016 with a bigger time gap at this point in the race, really, or later on before he made that winning move. So, I mean, never say never with Nibali. He looked fantastic on today's stage, attacking for the first time, it seems, in forever. And really showing his face at the front of a Giro stage. We don't see that since 2019 for Nibali. Also with Pozzo Vivo, he's just looking fantastic too. He's just got to hold on, I feel. Pozzo Vivo is the kind of guy who can sweep up fair places on mountain stages, stay up there in the GC, stay up there, and hope that things don't go wrong in that final week of racing like they did in 2018.
So with that, I think that's a good place to end this race recap analysis of stage 14. Of course, make sure to like the video, subscribe to the Cycling Dane Extra channel to keep up to date with all the recaps and tech videos that will ultimately come as well. And of course, subscribe to the main channel to check out our previews and of course, our live streams every day. So with that, thank you very much for watching and we will see you around.